Welcome to Up with the Sun, a program dedicated to the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Up with the Sun is produced by Community Educational Television, San Antonio Community Educational TV, and Jacksonville Educators Broadcasting. Now we present Up with the Sun.
Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to Up with the Sun broadcast as we attempt to start a brand new teaching this morning. I thought what we would do is spend our time in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is a book that's only about four chapters. It is the very last book that the Apostle Paul penned just prior to his death. He penned it to a young man who was struggling, whose name was, as the title tells us, his name was Timothy. And although this book was written at the close of the first century, I think it speaks powerfully to us today. And I believe that this is one of the reasons God allowed this book to be part of the Bible. But have you ever wanted to quit? Have you ever wanted to throw in the towel? Have you ever become discouraged in your calling and what God has called you to do? If that describes you, then the book of 2 Timothy is really for you. Because you see, this was the last letter that Paul wrote to a very young and struggling pastor. And as we advance the slides, we see that the introduction to the book of 2 Timothy is what we call the call to Christian perseverance. So this book is essentially all about a call to Christian perseverance. And what we're going to do as we start off today is we're going to lay out some introductory issues related to 2 Timothy. And then in subsequent programs, we're going to move through the chapters of this book, the four chapters of it, verse by verse. But you'll notice these introductory matters that we want to look at. And these are things that we always take a look at when we study a book. Authorship, who wrote it? The recipient, who is the audience? The date of the book? The place of writing of the book? The occasion of the book? In other words, what are the circumstances that gave rise to this particular book? The timeless message of the book? A basic structure of the book, and then what are some unique characteristics of this particular book? What makes it special, and what makes it stand out? So let's go ahead and take a look at, as we advance the slides, and let's take a look at authorship. Who wrote this book? And if you take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, we see that the writer is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul was a man who the Lord converted on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, and he was given this great task of being the apostle primarily to the Gentiles. And it is through the hand of the apostle Paul that we have 13 books in our New Testament. Those would include the book of Galatians, the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the book of Romans, and then it would also include the book of Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians, and it would also include 1st Timothy and Titus, and then finally the very last book that Paul wrote is this book called 2nd Timothy. So Paul not only was the apostle to the Gentiles, but he is actually the one that God used to pin about two-thirds of our New Testament letters. So he is a very strategic individual and an apostle in the outworking of God's program. You'll also notice the recipient of this book is Timothy, and you'll find his name mentioned there in verse 2. And as we advance the slides, it's always important to get a little bit of a handle or a little bit of an understanding on who exactly Timothy was. Timothy was from a place in Asia Minor called Lystra. He had a Greek father and a Jewish mother. In fact, he was raised in a very godly environment. In fact, it's interesting to note that Timothy's name means God honoring. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, he had a godly grandmother named Lois and a godly mother named Eunice, and the two of them apparently taught Timothy the Word of God, or Hebrew Bible, at a very early age. In fact, it talks in 2 Timothy 3 about around verse 15, Paul the Apostle says, "From infancy you have known the sacred writings, which are capable of making you wise unto salvation." And as we look at the slides again, we see that Timothy was very active in Paul's second missionary journey and Paul's third missionary journey. We basically believe that Timothy came to Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. He is not necessarily speaking of Timothy as his biological son, but rather as his spiritual son. And Timothy became very, very active in Paul's various missionary journeys, his second missionary journey, and also his third missionary journey. And in fact, when you take a look at verse 3 there, Paul indicates that he put Timothy in charge of the work or the church at Ephesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul writes, "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day." And in fact, Paul prayed for this man, and it's in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. Remember that Timothy is the recipient of two letters. But in the first letter, we learn that Timothy was put in charge of the great church at Ephesus that the Apostle Paul had started. The church at Ephesus is one of the most strategic churches of the first century world. It's a church that really got its birth, as we read about it in Acts chapter 19. And Paul had to continue on with his travels, and then ultimately he was put in prison, and so he couldn't continue on as the supervisor of that great work. And so he put this young man, Timothy, in charge of that particular church. And this, of course, tells us a great deal about who Timothy was. We learn that Timothy is, number one, a believer. I doubt Paul would have put him in charge of the great work at Ephesus if Timothy was an unbeliever. So Timothy was very clearly a believer, and his status as a Christian, as we'll see later on, helps us interpret key passages in the book. Timothy is not only a believer, but he is a spiritual leader, and he is put in charge of this church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus, according to Acts 16 and verse 6, that was an area Paul wanted to travel to on his second missionary journey, but the Holy Spirit forbade him to do so. Paul made a brief encounter in a synagogue in Ephesus at the end there of his second missionary journey, but then he kept moving, and that's in Acts 18. But finally, you get to Acts 19, and this is Paul's third missionary journey, and this is where the church at Ephesus just explodes in terms of growth. It takes off. And in fact, according to Acts 19 and verse 10, we learn that all who lived in that area, the Asia Minor area, heard the word of the Lord through the work that Paul did there at Ephesus. He set up shop for about 2 years. He was in Ephesus a total of 3 years, but he set up shop in a school called the School of Tyrannus. It was a lecture hall there in Ephesus, and everybody from that area heard the word of the Lord. And this is where those churches in Asia Minor that we read about in the book of Revelation got their start. And Paul continued on in that third missionary journey. And as the third missionary journey was concluding, he made a brief stop once again near Ephesus on the island of Miletus. And it's there in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 33. He kind of gave some further tutelage and spiritual oversight to the leaders there in Ephesus. And eventually, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus from prison in a letter called the Ephesians. And Between imprisonments, Paul apparently put Timothy in charge of that particular church. And so Timothy was a young man trying to pastor a work that Paul had begun. And finally, much later in the book of Revelation, probably about three decades or so later, Revelation 2 and verse 1, Jesus would address this church in the book of Revelation in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And so as we advance the slides, we come to a map and we see where Paul was when he wrote 2 Timothy. He was in prison and he is writing to Timothy there more in the east in a place called Ephesus. So this is Paul's final letter that he penned during his time in imprisonment. And the date of this book would be about AD 67. This is the very last book that Paul wrote, as we have explained. And in fact, if you look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul makes a very interesting statement. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." So Paul is literally penning this book just before his execution. And typically in our legal system, we attach more weight to the things that people say just before they die. Statements that are made with the knowledge of one's imminent death typically carry more weight in our legal system. And so if we apply that standard to what Paul is doing here, we would attach great weight to Paul's words. Of course, everything Paul said was weighty and important, but this letter is particularly important because this letter represents Paul's last will and testament. It's a letter that Paul wrote just prior to his death. And again, going to that map, we see that Paul was in Roman prison when he wrote this particular letter. If you take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner." If you take a look at chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul says, "For which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal." You'll see the same thing roughly in chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, where Paul says, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." And if you take a look at chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul makes yet another reference to his imprisonment. Paul in chapter 4 and verse 13 says, "But when you come, bring the cloak I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments." So it's very clear that Paul is in prison at this particular time. And one of the things that's very important to understand is this imprisonment that Paul was in would represent his first, his second Roman imprisonment. Paul had been in Roman imprisonment once before, from about AD 60 to 62, but now he is in prison yet a second time. And it's very important to contrast these two imprisonments if we can. So take a look, if you can, at Paul's two Roman imprisonments contrasted. Paul's first Roman imprisonment is recorded in Acts 28, verses 16 through 31. This is different. This would be about the year AD 67. This would be his second imprisonment. And this is where the book of 2 Timothy was written from. During his first imprisonment, he wrote four books that we call the prison letters. Those are Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. But in this second imprisonment, he wrote one book, the book that we're studying here. And this book is called 2 Timothy. In the first imprisonment, he is in jail, essentially on religious charges from the Jews, waiting a trial before Caesar. But in his second imprisonment, he is in jail because of insurrection. It's a political charge for rebellion against Rome. In his first imprisonment, the persecution that exists against the church is what we call local and sporadic. But in his second imprisonment, he is in jail because a madman named Nero has ascended to the throne. Nero launched the first formal wave of persecution against the church from Rome in an imperial sense. And the Apostle Paul is in this Neronian persecution at this particular time. And that is why he is in jail at this particular time. Continuing on with the slides as we contrast the two imprisonments, in his first imprisonment, he was basically living in fairly decent conditions. He was living under house arrest. But in his second imprisonment, he's in a dungeon and he's in very poor conditions. In his first imprisonment, he had a lot of opportunities to see friends and things of that nature. But in his second imprisonment, he's virtually alone, with a few exceptions. Advancing the slides once again, we see in his first imprisonment, he had a lot of evangelistic opportunities. But in this second imprisonment, opportunities are restricted. In Paul's first imprisonment, he was very optimistic that he was going to be getting out of jail very quickly. And we see that in the book of Philippians as he is awaiting his trial before Caesar. And in Philippians 1, 24 through 26, he believes that this trial is going to go in his favor and he is going to be released from jail very quickly. But the second imprisonment is completely different. The second imprisonment is a time where his execution is anticipated. Paul, at this time in his life, knows he will not be released from prison. And in fact, his very martyrdom at the hands of Nero is imminent, or it is at hand. Let's advance the slides once again, and let's take a look at the occasion for the writing. Why did the Apostle Paul write this particular book? What is the problem in the background or the occasion that gives rise to this particular book? Well, Paul is in Rome, in prison, as we have said. Timothy is a young man who is pastoring a great work that Paul had begun in Ephesus. And Timothy, when you take a look at his core makeup, he had a lot of things going against him. First of all, he was very young. There's a reference to that in the first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Beyond that, Timothy seemed to be very sickly. There's a reference to that in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 23. And beyond that, Timothy was timid. I call Timothy timid Timothy. Although his name means God-honoring, which he received from his mother and his grandmother, no doubt, his basic character was that of being intimidated easily, being afraid. And, of course, the Apostle Paul makes reference to that in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 when he reminds Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of love, power, and self-discipline. And you kind of couple into the fact that the Neronian persecution had started. This madman Nero had ascended to the throne. And if we study a little bit of Roman history, we begin to realize that and understand that Nero was the man that lit Rome on fire and burned much of it to the ground and blamed it on the Christians. So Timothy is trying to minister as a very young and sickly and timid man, young man in the midst of this intense persecution. And beyond the Neronian persecution, the other thing that was psychologically stacked against Timothy was Paul's arrest. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, as we saw a little earlier, Paul refers to himself as a prisoner. And Timothy probably thought to himself, I can't be too bold in my calling. Because after all, the Apostle Paul was bold in his calling, and look what good it did him. He got thrown in jail. Beyond these issues, Timothy was most likely being persecuted within the church itself. Within Ephesus, you get this idea that people were sort of rising up against him. There's references to this, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18. It talks there about men who have gone astray from the truth. There's a reference to it in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 13, about a tidal wave of something called the apostasy, which was seeping into the church at Ephesus. Beyond that, there are people in the church at Ephesus that only want to hear pleasant teachings. Anything that is doctrinal or healthy, they're not interested in. They're essentially interested in their ears being tickled. There's a reference to that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. So you put all of these things together, and essentially what you begin to understand is Timothy is very young. He is trying to pastor a church filled with people that are in opposition to him. Beyond that, there is external persecution taking place from the Neronian persecution and things of that nature. And so Timothy, by and large, is thinking about shrinking back in his ministry. He is thinking about not completing the task that God had given him to do. And Paul, as we take a look at the slide that says occasion for writing, Paul knew that his death was imminent. We've seen a reference to that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. And so where is Paul's thoughts? His thoughts are for the next generation. Because you see, as the saying goes, a politician is thinking about the next election. A statesman is thinking about the next generation. Paul is thinking about the next generation. Paul is thinking about the progress of Christianity. In other words, if, as the baton is passed from Paul to Timothy, if Timothy should shrink back in his calling, then in essence, the whole Christian cause is lost. Everything that Paul has done under God's power is lost at this particular point in time if Timothy should drop the ball. So it's very similar to runners in a relay race. Some of you may have run track in junior high school or high school and college, and you know that in a track race or in a relay, you have to pass off the baton from one runner to the next. And if one runner drops the baton, the whole team loses, in essence. And so what is happening here is this baton is being passed from the apostolic generation to Timothy's generation. Paul understands that if that baton is dropped, then Christianity suffers and Christianity never makes it to the next generation. And Timothy is shrinking back in his calling because of reasons I've described, part of his core makeup, and also external factors and internal persecution. And Paul is very worried about the progress of Christianity. If you doubt the reality that Christianity is only one generation away from extinction, all you have to do is travel around the world a little bit and you go into Europe and you'll see beautiful Christian architecture, beautiful Christian cathedrals, beautiful Christian paintings. And yet, when you go inside those cathedrals and churches, you'll find that about 1% of Europeans attend church. Christianity, for the most part, is over in Europe. And the largest, fastest growing religion in Europe today is not Christianity. It is Islam. So here is a part of the world that was once the cradle of the Protestant Reformation, and now that particular area of the world is what we call a post-Christian area or a post-Christian continent. And so it is very disturbing to realize that Christianity is always one generation away from extinction. If one generation drops the baton, the whole team can lose. Everything that Paul has labored for up to this point in time is lost if Timothy shrinks back in his calling. And so consequently, we advance the slides and we come to the message of the book. And I'm trying to paint the circumstances that gave rise to the book. Why did Paul write this particular book? He is encouraging Timothy to endure in his calling. And so we might articulate the message statement of the book as follows: faithful endurance in the ministry, even in the midst of encroaching persecution and apostasy, so that the Christian message will be preserved for the next generation. In essence, everything that Paul produces in these four chapters in this particular book contribute to that message. Everything that he says from Rome to Timothy contribute to getting this man Timothy, who is a believer, to go ahead and persevere in his calling so that the Christian message will make it to the next generation. And as we advance the slides, we see a four-part structure to the book. One of the things that's very helpful to do, particularly when we work our way through a book, is to try to get a handle on the outline of the book. And I believe that this book has a very easy to follow four-part structure. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we have a general call to faithful endurance in the ministry. Paul tells Timothy to endure. He exhorts him to endure, to fulfill the calling that God has given him. And then when we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul moves from point to picture, and he gives Timothy 10 word pictures or 10 metaphors of exactly what faithfulness and perseverance and endurance in the ministry looks like. So, Timothy, I want you to endure, and here are 10 word pictures that will help you. And then we come to part three of the book, and this is where Paul deals with the subject of the coming apostasy. The apostasy is something that Paul predicted would accelerate as the age of the church winds down. Apostasy simply means a departure from known truth. Apostasy is a compound word. It comes from two Greek words, apos, which is a preposition that means away from, and histemi, which is a verb that means to stand. Apostasy literally means to stand away from. Apostasy is a gradual departure from known truth. And Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, recognized that apostasy was happening. There were people within the church that were actually even opposing Timothy. And Paul tells this very young, timid pastor how to endure in the midst of the encroaching apostasy. And then finally, in chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 through 22, after Paul has explained the subject of apostasy and what Timothy is to do in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through chapter 4, verse 8, finally, in chapter 4, verses 9 through 22, Paul signs off by explaining how the Lord met six needs in Paul's life. In other words, at Paul's darkest moment, the Lord came through to Paul in six practical ways. And in essence, what Paul is reminding Timothy of here is, look, I have no corner on God. If God helped me out in the midst of difficulty, and God never changes, then he will help you out as well. So go ahead, Timothy, endure in your calling. God is with you, and be all that God has called you to be.
You have been watching Up at the Sun with professors from the College of Biblical Studies. If you would like more information about the college, please contact us at 713-77-BIBLE or visit us online at cbshouston.edu. Here at the College of Biblical Studies, we offer truth, training, and transformation.